Speechware, Document 26, Industrial and Commercial Schools. From the message of the President read at the opening of the second session of the 59th Congress, December 3, 1906. It would be impossible to overstate, though it is of course difficult quantitatively to measure, the effect upon a nation's growth to greatness, of what may be called organized patriotism, which necessarily includes the substitution of a national feeling for mere local pride, which is a resultant of high ambition for the whole country. No country can develop its full strength so long as the parts which make up the whole each put a feeling of loyalty to the part above the feeling of loyalty to the whole. This is true of sections and it is as true of classes. The industrial and agricultural classes must work together, capitalists and wage workers must work together, if the best work of which the country is capable is to be done. It is probable that a thoroughly efficient system of education comes next to the influence of patriotism in bringing about national success of this kind. Our federal form of government, so fruitful of advantage to our people in certain ways, in other ways undoubtedly limits our national effectiveness. It is not possible, for instance, for the national government to take the lead in technical industrial education, to see that the public school system of this country develops on all its technical, industrial, scientific, and commercial sides. This must be left primarily to the several states. Nevertheless, the national government has control of the schools of the District of Columbia, and it should see that these schools promote and encourage the fullest development of the scholars in both commercial and industrial training. The commercial training should in one of its branches deal with foreign trade. The industrial training is even more important. It should be one of our prime objects as a nation, so far as feasible, constantly to work toward putting the mechanic, the wage worker who works with his hands, in a higher plane of efficiency and reward, so as to increase his effectiveness in the economic world, and the dignity, the remuneration, and the power of his position in the social world. Unfortunately, at present the effect of some of the work in the public schools is in the exactly opposite direction. If boys and girls are trained merely in literary accomplishments, to the total exclusion of industrial, manual, and technical training, the tendency is to unfit them for industrial work and to make them reluctant to go into it, or unfitted to do well, if they do go into it. This is a tendency which should be strenuously combated. Our industrial development depends largely upon technical education, including in this term all industrial education, from that which fits a man to be a good mechanic, a good carpenter, or blacksmith, to that which fits a man to do the greatest engineering feat. The skilled mechanic, the skilled workman, can best become such by technical industrial education. The far-reaching usefulness of institutes of technology and schools of mines or of engineering is now universally acknowledged, and no less far-reaching is the effect of a good building or mechanical trade school, a textile, or watchmaking, or engraving school. All such training must develop not only manual dexterity but industrial intelligence. In international rivalry, this country does not have to fear the competition of pauper labor as much as it has to fear the educated labor of specially trained competitors, and we should have the education of the hand, eye, and brain which will fit us to meet such competition. In every possible way we should help the wage worker who toils with his hands and who must, we hope in a constantly increasing measure, also toil with his brain. Under the Constitution the national legislature can do but little of direct importance for his welfare save, where he is engaged in work which permits it to act under the Interstate Commerce Clause of the Constitution, and this is one reason why I so earnestly hope that both the legislative and judicial branches of the government will construe this clause of the Constitution in the broadest possible manner. We can, however, in such a matter as industrial training, in such a matter as child labor and factory laws, set an example to the states by enacting the most advanced legislation that can wisely be enacted for the District of Columbia.